from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, it's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker. I got two things I want to talk to Randy about real quick before we get into the NFL no huddle. Real quick, Randy, the AP poll has just been released. I just kind of want to play.
Player came out.
That was coach's poll.
Oh,
now we need the AP poll.
But is there any difference?
Well, let's find out. Right. Do you think you remember the coach's poll decently well?
I can remember Georgia, Ohio State.
That's two.
Texas, Oregon.
Oregon is three in this one.
Texas.
Texas is four.
Alabama.
Alabama's five. Keep going. I want to see how far you can go until you miss
six
one.
Six would be Ole Miss.
Six is Ole Miss. Keep going.
Seven. Seven. I don't know. Where are we at?
Seven's Notre Dame.
Okay.
Rounding out the top ten's Penn State, Michigan, Florida State.
Okay. It's different.
Yeah, there might be one or two flipped here and there,
okay.
But it's all the same. To no one's surprise, Georgia is the number one team, points and voters and all that crap. But Georgia's one, Ohio State two, Oregon three, Texas four. I'm just not as sold on Oregon yet. I just need to see the Big Ten. I don't know if it's just me. I want to see it.
Well, I mean, they got athlete for athlete now. I mean, Dan Lanning has done a great job. Now, the trenches aren't where they need to be as far as that depth. Well, you want to talk about skill, you go out and get a old-ass quarterback, you know, to come out there and run your offense.
I just turned 39. He ain't that old.
I mean, and then you got all that going on and everything. But
if he succeeds there, like, I don't think it's fair to use this term, but, like, system quarterback, it feels like there's a mold for Oregon to –
Right now, what they're doing right now, they're trying to get the older, transfer portal quarterback.
That's mobile guy,
mobile guy,
throw on the run,
and he can do all those things. He can do all. He can't do it as good as the guy last year. As good as Bo Nix.
We're gonna talk about him in just a moment.
But he's played a lot of football. There's nothing that's gonna surprise him. They got a nice team around him and everything like that. He's gonna have to contend. It's the contention in the new division, as far as the Big Ten, having to deal with Ohio State and all those other schools, Penn State and Michigan and things like that on a regular. So yeah, I mean, but I think they'll be good.
All right. Congrats goes out to Ryan in Fairburn. He is headed towards the comedy show featuring Jim Jeffries, Mark Norman, and Dan Soder. I'll have to find out if we have tickets all week or today was a one-off. But hopefully we do. And if not, you can
congratulations,
go to the
my boy.
Right there and get that done. So should be a fun time. Randy, something happened to me Friday night that has not happened to me since I've been an adult, I guess.
Oh, man. I can go so many ways.
I realized as I was saying that I was leaving myself open for a while.
I can go so many ways with this, Abe. And I don't want to. I'm not going to put you out there like that because I think you are a ladies' man. But what happened to you?
So I wasn't going to bring this up, but you mentioned it in the crossover with Steak about how I always have the phone in my hand.
Yeah.
And it's just I'm always on my phone. Left my phone in an Uber.
Really?
Friday night.
Oh, wow.
But
you were losing your mind, weren't you?
Bro, it was bad.
I bet you lose your mind.
I didn't get it back until 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon.
I bet you went crazy. I know you went crazy.
I was doing everything I could to get Uber to get in touch with the person who had my phone.
Right.
I was like, look, I'll pay for them to, like, make the trip up there, whatever. I had Find My iPhone on. They are so – they the people whose car I left it in was so far south.
Really?
That I looked at it. I'm like, they're never going to return my phone.
Right.
They're never going to come back up here.
Okay. So did you get in the car and go get your phone?
I couldn't get in touch with the people.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so – on my third attempt with Uber support, I finally got them to give me a number to the person who had my – they had my phone. Like, they confirmed they had my phone. I finally got a actual number because Uber is like, what number can they reach you at? I'm like, what part of they have my phone do you not understand? They're not calling me at a number. I need to reach out to them. So I finally get a number. I figured out how to use FaceTime on my computer.
Okay.
And call them from my computer. And then we finally set, like, a meeting spot and a time, and I finally got my phone back. That was a long 36 hours, Randy.
I know you're about to go damn crazy without that damn phone. You keep it attached to your face, and now you happen to leave it. So I'm assuming y'all got after Friday night.
We got after, yeah.
Okay.
That was normal.
That's what I'm saying.
I do that all the time.
Nothing new about it.
Don't leave my phone. It just fell out, whatever. It wasn't even like the panic wasn't that I didn't have my phone with me or like that I wasn't using my phone. It's that I didn't know when I would be able to get my phone.
Right.
That was the bigger concern. Cause I show up to work yesterday, I was hosting and I went to log in to print my rundown. What happens? I need to have my phone for our secondary method of security. I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't log in, so I couldn't print my rundown.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got it back. All is well.
It's all good now.
He didn't go through your phone and steal all your banking info or nothing, did he?
I put that thing on mark my phone as lost immediately.
Right.
It took me 30 minutes of my own time yesterday to, like, undo all the damage I had done, marking it as lost, like, re-signing in. It was a nightmare. So we're gonna have to figure – I can't have that happen probably ever again.
Snap it to your belt, man.
That's what my dad.
That's your dad,
Vinny. Got that.
Yeah, that's
got the fanny pack.
Yeah, that's Mr. G right there. That's Mr. G's move right there.
That's all him. All right, let's go ahead and get into it because there was a lot of interesting stuff for me. I know the Falcons maybe not as much, but there was some interesting stuff across the NFL. So let's do it with a no huddle. NFL No Huddle brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're going to bounce around to a couple of different games and share some thoughts. You talked about a number of rookies here, Randy, that I thought played pretty well, the quarterbacks. The one that was a little bit iffy, I would say, is Drake May.
Right.
And he's the one that also seems like it's trending towards him not being the starter. It looks like Jacoby Brissett, even though he was 0-3, probably going to hold on.
No, he's going to start. I think that's what they want. As far as Jacoby being the starter, because he is more of a bridge quarterback than anything. And Drake, man, I mean, he did what he's supposed to do. I mean, it was a downpour and all those different things.
That's the other part. I think
that he'll get more and more rest. But I think right now, I think New England wants Jacoby to start the season as a starter.
Pittsburgh Steelers Friday night. Was it a good night for Russell Wilson or a bad night for Russell Wilson?
I think it was.
He didn't play.
But
Justin Fields went 5 of 6. He was sacked twice, and he fumbled twice.
Yes, that's the thing right there is that the sacks, he walked into a sack. Russ walks into sacks too. Yep. But I think, I don't want to say it was a bad night for Russ, but
I think this the other way.
Justin didn't take the job.
I think this was a very good night for Russell Wilson.
He didn't take the job because the one thing, and Mike T said it after, was the turnover. The fumbles.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and
one
those
of
things.
Drop snaps.
And that's been the thing with Justin. Yep. Can do all the special things. He's a special athlete. He's a damn good player. But those are the things that, you know, was one of the things that he did a lot in Chicago, fumbled the ball and everything. So, yeah, I don't think that he took the job at all.
I think you're exactly right. I think there was a world where coming off of how hot he had been reported to be at camp with 30 touchdowns, 2 interceptions or whatever the numbers, who cares? I think there is a world where he brings that into the game and Russell Wilson never gets a real shot to battle for it back. I think what we saw is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And now it's game on for both guys.
Yeah, it's Russell's job. And, you know, I think that it's easier to replace him than it is to replace Justin with Russell. My takeaway, CJ Stroud looked good.
He was 2-for with a touchdown.
Good. Tank was out there. Yeah. I mean, this guy, I mean, he got shot early this offseason. He went out there, had a big-time performance, so it was good to see him. I did get a chance to watch a lot of that Bears-Bills game yesterday.
So let's get into that. And Caleb Williams.
I thought he was really, really good. I thought he was really good.
He can move, man.
I thought he was
good. Some of that's going to translate.
No panic in the pocket when the pocket was collapsing around him. The nice dump off to Swifty right there, the pass to Cole Kmet. I mean, he was just really, really poised and everything like that. So I was encouraged by that. I was encouraged by what you saw from Jaden Daniels.
I
thought they did such a good job with the play calling with him. And you look at everything as far as where he was throwing the football, using the zone read for the touchdown. That's going to be the new thing. When you see a lot, and it's not a new thing. Abe, you're just going to see more of it with those reads and everything when the quarterback pulls and having that extra blocker out there in front of him, so he can he can make a cut off the block off the blocking position of either the tight end or a tackle out there in front of him. So I thought that was really good. That ball on the sideline was freaking.
Jaden's starting the season, right?
Yeah, we know Caleb is.
There's one other rookie that looked really good, and I did not expect it. In fact, I would have bet the other way. I don't think Jarrett Stidham's going to start the season in Denver.
No, Bo Nix looked good. Bo Nix looked really good.
Bo Nix was 15 of 21, 125 yards and a touchdown. Also added 17 yards rushing. And
on that
the
same
athleticism,
play.
They ran the left a couple times. Yeah. The athleticism looks like it will transfer to the NFL. I mean, after seeing that, I might listen to KOA on the way home.
Who?
I might listen to Denver. It's one of Denver's stations. I might listen and see if they're giving me it's Bo Nix's time. He's your starter.
Well, I think you draft him where you drafted him. So yeah, obviously you want him to be the starter. But I think that he is. We know how athletic Bo is, and this is a different type of quarterback than Sean's usually had. You know, he's had a classic pocket passer. And, I mean, he'll hit trees forever. But I think that him adjusting to how he needs to call plays for this kid. You saw a lot of that on display, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a starter over him, over Stidham, and over Zach Wilson.
They've already said Zach Wilson's not really.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you don't see Bo Nix out there if he continues to progress the way he's. Now the thing about it is, unlike I think Jaden and Caleb, he can't drop off. Like, these dudes can probably have a little stumble. They'll still start.
Right.
But he has – I'm talking about Bo Nix. He has got to be able to put that a performance because he's got to get the reps. And I thought the one thing that Sean did was Sean left him in with the ones. He left him in with the first-team offensive line.
21 passes?
Yes. I mean, he left him in there with the ones, so you get an opportunity to see him mess with that with the starters and everything. But, yeah, 21 attempts. I think then the boy in Dallas had like 30 attempts. Then Stetson had like 40 attempts.
Oh, Trey Lance?
Trey Lance, yeah.
He played forever.
Yeah, I was like,
come on, what are we
doing? This is not a play, man. I mean, they're trying to put some tape out there. See, Dak, we do have options. Yeah, right.
Cooper Rush, Trey Lance, or you.
Right.
Minnesota, you had Sam Darnold go 4 of 8 for 59 yards. J.J. McCarthy threw for a $188.
The interception.
Touchdowns.
The interception. It was a rookie mistake until he didn't see that guy. But, I mean, J.J. looked really, really good. I still think Sam Darnold's probably going to be the starter to start the season.
I tend to lean that way,
too. But I thought that he played
Not be for long, though.
I thought he played pretty damn well, man.
How do we think Stetson played? He got 4 interceptions.
He threw the game-winning interception. Only Stetson.
Game-winning touchdown,
man. That only happens to Stetson. That is on Stetson's watch. Real quick, Abe, we were talking about the injuries for the Falcons. They're hosting former All-Pro safety Justin Simmons today and tomorrow after the Helms injury, and I was just I showed it because it was on my iPad screen. I showed it to Jesse. He did a little smile, a little nod, as far as if they do find a way to sign. I know he was down there in New Orleans. And I was thinking about him and Jesse together. They're such similar players. They've always been that middle of the field safety, ball hawking safety. He's a hell of a player. If that does happen, I'm not saying that it does. I just saw Terry outside. I was like, hey, what you doing? What you doing, Terry? Because he was talking on his phone. Like, what you doing?
Is he on the phone with the banks?
I don't know. What you doing? What you doing over there, Terry? But, that would be a big-time addition if they were able to get a player of his caliber. To my Justin Simmons.
I mean, he's viewed at as the top free agent, defensive free agent available, certainly in
the backfield. Where the money coming at? I don't know. Where the money coming? I mean, you can find money. I didn't worry about when people say, well, the Falcons have no money. The Falcons get money.
Everyone, right? They'll find him money.
They'll find the money. If he wants to come here and they want him to be here and the number's right, they'll find a way to get the money for the number. So that's not even an issue.
I do want to ask you on the other side, on a little carryover, Braves. I want to ask you about this Brandon Ayuk situation.
It's really funny.
It's continuing.
It's really weird.
Let's get into that on the other side. We'll do a little bit more, and then I guess we have to talk Braves at some point as well. We'll do that on the other side. It's the Midday Show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael here at Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, Abe Gordon filling in for Andy today. We are live at Flowery Branch. Had a chance to catch up with Falcons safety Jesse Bates not too long ago. That'll be up on the website or the Odyssey app where you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, follow, and click on Andy and Randy. Midday Show with Andy and Randy there. And you'll get it right to your phone or whatever other device you might be listening to. Want to get one more quick thought in here on the NFL before we switch gears to baseball. The 49ers have apparently re-engaged with Brandon Ayuk on a concert. They're hopeful that he would stay.
He wants to stay.
So this is the thing. He's made it very clear that it's not all about the money, because he turned down a Patriots offer that was reportedly $32 million per year.
Right.
He wants to be with a contender. The best spot for that is going to be San Francisco.
Yes. He wants to be in San Francisco.
They reportedly offered him earlier this offseason $26
per. Okay. Can we get to 28?
I would say, where's the middle ground between what 32 is and what 26 is and what they can do?
Well, I mean, if anything, I can say, well, Justin Jefferson got 35. So, yeah, I want 35, but he's not as good as Justin Jefferson. We know this. Now, if you look at where all of the receivers that – because, I mean, the receivers got paid this offseason, where Justin is and where 26 is. All right, so can he slot somewhere, say, 30? Where St. Brown and the boys are, 30, 29, 30, somewhere near there. I think he's more 28 and a half maybe, but, I mean, that's just my thought process on where you look at the tier of where the receivers are being paid. But to me it does seem like – no, it does not. He wants to be in San Fran, but the thing about it is that – I know I saw the same report you were talking about with the Patriots, like, but he has concerns over – the quarterback situation. Okay, this is his first deal. This is his second deal. This is the one that you play for. This is the one you work for.
He wants to get paid.
It's his second deal, which he should.
But he wants to win.
Exactly.
And he's very clearly not prioritizing get me my money over trying to win a title.
I just need to know, man, what's the hang up? What's the structure? What's the guarantees? There's so many different things. If this report is true about New England, he's walking away from that, because that would put him third, I think, behind A.J. Brown. I think it'll put him third as far as average per year, which I still think is an overrated damn thing. How much am I getting is the most important thing. But I don't think he wants to leave. I know they don't want him to leave. So to me, this seems like this is something that's going to maybe get done this offseason. I've been in a situation like this with one of my old teammates, Abe, and it was a situation where he wanted to stay, and he wanted us to give him the money that he wanted. Now, this other team that was over here, they offered him more. And he went back to us and it was like, all right, they're offering me this. Can you bam, 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 you know, match this or whatever? And our organization was like, no, we value you at this, even though this other team values you more. And so obviously he takes the contract, takes the money and everything like that. But this case like that with him. Like, what do you value on anything? Now, me, I'm getting it all. You know what I mean? This is my first contract. Hey, this is my first big deal. I'm sorry, my second, because obviously you're working for your second deal. Give me the money. Give me the money.
So I just – if this were you, you'd be playing in New England right now.
You're damn right.
Okay.
I mean, if that's the case, if they're offering $6 million less – Reportedly,
yeah. Right.
Hey, I'm going for $6 million. Don't turn down that, but my damn collar. Yeah, no, I gotta go get that. I gotta go get that.
And I'm still stuck in if they bring back Ayuk. I don't know how they pay Purdy. I really don't.
Well, I mean, I think they're gonna be a lot of adjustments with this roster, with the whole Purdy thing, and the whole. I think this is Deebo Samuel's last year there. I think that when you look at Trent, they might give Trent a guaranteed year. They're gonna have to do something because you can't pay, especially if Brock continues to play the way he's been playing.
Well, that's the question for me. Do they actually get to a point where maybe they think they can do this without Purdy?
I always have that thought process in the back of my mind when it comes, when it comes to Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
Yes.
I was very adamant last year, and we never got a chance to see it, and I know this is going to sound dumb. I was very adamant last year that if Brock Purdy was hurt to the point where he wasn't able to start the season, this team would have looked the exact same with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I really feel that way.
Well, I thought that was going to be a good move for them, getting Kyle, getting him and everything. And obviously, it didn't work out the way I thought it would. But, yeah, I mean, and you give him the benefit. I'm talking about Kyle because you've seen him do it over and over again with quarterbacks. And so he couldn't do it with Trey Lance, but is that more Trey Lance wasn't good
enough? What
happened
to Jimmy G as soon as he left?
He went to be in Jimmy G.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's so many different scenarios.
And now he's doing it with a seventh-round quarterback that was the final. I mean, it's just – there's so – how much more empirical evidence do you need that the guy can make it work with pretty much anyone? So, all right, let's chat about a little bit of Atlanta Braves baseball. I guess we have to. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We talked about it a little bit. 8-2 lead blown. They lose the series to the worst team in the National League, the Colorado Rockies. They are now tied with the Mets for the final wild card spot. The first question I'm going to have for you is separate of losing the series. And that is, we saw an offense that put up 5 runs, 11 runs, 8 runs. Is the Braves offense coming to life, or is that just Coors Field providing that offense?
It could be I'll go with Coors Field. I'll go with that.
Which is unfortunately the least of the two possible.
Exactly.
We would like to say the Braves off. Jorge Soler got going,
right.
Obviously. Matt Olson had a couple. Austin Riley had a couple. And Ozuna continues to do his thing. The good news, if we put it on the idea of this is Coors Field, is that maybe that helps us explain why Max Fried didn't look very good again.
Because he did not.
But Spencer Schwellenbach did. And I do want to credit him as well. He has continued to be – now, the bullpen blew it. So
yes,
we're not going to give him credit because we're not happy about it. But that's where that was. The Rockies are the worst team in the National League. The Giants, who the Braves are starting a series with now, they're just one game behind the wild card. And the Braves are tied right now with the Mets for the final wild card spot. And you were right what you said during What's Trending. Like – it felt like last week we talked about the low point of the Braves season.
Yep. Yesterday was a damn debacle.
That yesterday
feels
like certainly lower. I think I can make an argument for a variety of different reasons. Obviously, the Brewers are good. The Rockies are not. You had a massive lead.
Are you 16 runs? Are you that much worse than the Brewers? Yeah, the Brewers are good. The Brewers ain't – obviously, the score shows how good they were. But they just kicked the Braves in the mouth. They're not that much better than the Braves. They got their ass kicked.
So if it's the new lowest point in the season, which I do think it is, how do you get it going?
I don't know, because we said this last week, man. It's the lowest point of the season right there. Then the Braves went up to Denver, to the Rocky Mountains, and said, here, hold my Coors.
What's the best example? You can go anywhere you want with this, Rainey. Personal, athletically, any team, any player. What's the best example you could think of a guy that's reached his lowest point and then somehow it kept going?
I don't know, man, because, you don't ever want to It's hard to put like some real life rock bottomness to sports,
right?
So you know what I mean. So I don't want to say that like you know in a real life situation because at the end of the day it is just
it'd probably be like something injury related where you guy works all his way back.
Yeah,
and
man.
Just, yeah, I don't know. The question is help on the way? And Michael Harris pops up.
How much longer he got?
Are you asking me? Because if we're up to me, he'd be in college.
No, I'm saying, how much time does he have left?
I don't know what they're looking for in terms of, but, like, he'd be playing, like, today.
I got a chance to listen to Freaky yesterday, and that's the first thing he's just like, why is he in AAA? Just fly his ass out there, and let's go.
Well, you got Ramon Laureano got hurt stepping on first base. I don't know what that was.
What the hell? That's what I'm saying. This is the is the type of year they're having when this guy is running to first base and steps wrong. This is just one of them seasons that the Braves are going through right now, man. And it's a phrase that me and Bunk never want to we don't like to use a lot. It's like it can't get no worse. I won't say that, all right? Because this dude was running to first base and then out. What in
the
hell?
He clipped his own leg.
Ow!
He clipped his own leg, and they crossed, and he turned, and then a ankle injury, heel injury, whatever it was. If it were up to me, Michael Harris would be up there. Can we talk about a problem I didn't think we were going to have?
What's that?
It's not better than Ozuna's.
What's not better than Ozuna?
Jorge Soler's defense is not better than Ozuna's.
Y'all keep laughing at me when I say that.
I can't believe we're sitting here having this conversation.
Y'all keep laughing at me when I say that.
We saw the first ball that was hit, and it looked like a copy of Ozuna in left field with Soler, Lord knows where, near the wall and watching it bounce away from him. And that was the start of it. I don't know what it was the other night when you had three guys surrounding a ball, and Soler calls him off and comes running in, diving, and drops the ball, and two runs scored, and that one certainly didn't help you out either. It's just, I mean, what a mess defensively. I don't get it.
They're the worst.
How can you
be so
bad?
They're the worst outfield in baseball.
How can you be so bad?
Yeah, I mean, they're the worst because it's not what I do. But I'm saying, like, you got to be out there, and Alex has got to say to himself also, you know, because he did, because they didn't have the DH when last time he was here, right?
Sure.
Okay.
It can't be an excuse.
You know, I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like, you know, Snit said he got to get him in shape and all that other stuff out there. Hit the ball well while they were in Denver. It's just going to be a process when that ball goes out that if it's not caught, then it's going to be uh-oh.
It's in every – how come – I just don't want every fly ball to be an adventure.
Yes, but it's going to be that way.
Every single one.
If he has to move off the spot, it's going to be a problem. Right or left? Maybe he can back up because he took the damn wall.
I'm in the realm where let everything bounce in front of you, play everything on a hop, and just hope the infield can turn two with the next batter. Like that, it's gotten so bad, and I just really didn't think that it would be there. So here's the last question I have with the Braves, and we're talking about this being the low point of the season, and we're talking about all the issues, if it can get better, where they are in the standings with the wild card in a tough series, potentially a tough series, Blake Snell tonight. I've been pretty adamant up until this point, Randy, that the Braves were still going to make the playoffs. I'm not now saying that they won't, but it's the first time that I haven't been confident that they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, and rightfully so. I mean, because you were comfortable in the one spot. In the one wild card spot, you were comfortable there, and now you're uncomfortably out of the one spot where it can go any team in that area, in that group of teams that are all vying for those spots. Any of those teams are capable of going on a run and putting you back and putting you further back.
The Mets had caught you.
Yes, but I'm saying
you then rebuilt the lead to 1.5 going into Colorado.
And then what happened?
You come out of a series against the worst team in the National League, the second worst team in all of baseball, only behind the White Sox, I guess, and you got caught by the Mets. I mean, that's what happened in this series. It's pretty frustrating. All right, when we come back, we're going to welcome Bo Johnson into the show, get some back page going. On the other side, it's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael, the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show. Usually it's Andy and Randy, but it's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker today. Should be back tomorrow. Do not fret. You won't have to hear too much more of me. A little bit of the NFL, the NBA schedule starting to trickle out, and just, you know, kind of figure out which games I want to stay awake for. That's the other thing. The Braves being out west this week is
8 o'clock. Yeah.
That's
staying up to watch that. Yeah.
Well, that's the worst part, right? Because I can kind of sell myself sometimes on being able to stay awake, but then you get like midway through the second inning and you're down 5-1. You're like, what?
Well,
no, I'm not going to bed.
Yeah, but I think that they, you know, it's I don't even know what to call it, what's going on with the Braves right now. I just call it really bad because
Is it okay to just say it's not there? It's not. I mean, I think we've been saying it.
It seems like it's not going to.
Just admit to yourself, it's probably not going
to
happen.
I think you got to get to that mindset. Yeah, okay, you're going to battle your way for a wild card, but this team isn't good enough to win a World Series. I don't think.
We're all hesitant to say it because everything we say gets recorded and then eventually held over our heads.
I don't give a damn.
I hope I'm wrong.
But that's the thing.
Like, if we're wrong, we're wrong.
I hope I am.
Just come to terms with it.
I really hope that I'm wrong on this situation right here, going on with our baseball team. But I don't think I will be. But I just, yeah, if I'm wrong, hell yeah. Call me out about being wrong. Because one thing about it, I don't care. I'm going by what I see right now, and it's just not good. It hasn't been good for a long time. Yeah, they had some good moments, Abe, but I'm just talking about consistent good. It's just
not been enough.
No, it's not been enough.
So opening night of the NBA season is on October 22nd. The Atlanta Hawks have 4 preseason games, 2 home, 2 road before then. It's going to consist of 1 East Coast battle, 1 West – or not East Coast, but Eastern Conference and Western Conference game opening night. Knicks – at Celtics as they receive their rings.
Oh, love it.
And then the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Lakers.
That man going to Tinseltown. Like, I like it. I'm not surprised that the Lakers or the Celtics are on opening night. Not surprised one bit about that. But then you go and then you put Ant-Man, a guy who people are viewing as the next face and all those different things. You got him opening night going out to L.A. And then obviously the Knicks were – I don't want to say the feel-good story because I can't stand New York Knickerbocker fans, but I love that team. I love the players.
And they also made a big move in the offseason.
I love Jaylen Brown. They made the move and things like that. And then we all know this has been the summer of feeling bad, feeling sad, feeling mad for Boston Celtics players. Get the hell out of here, man.
How much do they
– Get the hell out of here.
Is their contract?
Get the hell out of here with all that feeling bad and whining and mad and all that other crap. That man got a ring, and he ain't said nothing. All right, if he comes out and says something, maybe on a podcast or something later on, fine, whatever, whatever.
Tatum?
Yeah, he ain't said nothing.
If anything, I think he's enjoying the situation.
He ain't said nothing.
I think the post that he made yesterday of when you did nothing on the group project and still get an A.
I thought that was Halliburton.
Was it?
Yeah, I think that was Halliburton.
Was it Halliburton?
But it was funny.
Okay.
It was funny.
It was.
It was funny. But, like, if y'all gonna get mad about that, whatever. I just find it funny. But, yeah, I mean, I know when you were talking about it. We got some Braves news.
Yeah, I was going to bring that
Dylan
up in a
Lee
second. Yeah.
And place A.J. Minter on the 15-day.
So Dylan Lee's okay. Back. Dylan Lee's back. A.J. Minter's on the 15-day IL with left hip inflammation.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay.
Who cares? You know, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be, you know, but all right, fine. Whatever.
Okay.
Probably not going to watch. What time does this thing start tonight? I'm going to be in bed.
It's going to be a late
I'll
night.
Be honest, and we talked about this. It'd been a rough 10 days for me with sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're in the Olympics and all that stuff.
I immediately got excited, and I'm like, oh, Olympics over. I'm probably go to bed early. And then my very first thought is like, Braves West Coast. That's not good.
No.
That's going to be a problem. So we'll deal with that. When we deal with it. All right, let's go ahead and get into it with Bo Johnson and the Back Page.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the Back Page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's up, Bo?
So the 2024 Olympics have come and gone, and before we get into the closing ceremonies, have y'all known or do you know the name of Rachel Gunn yet?
Who?
Yeah, I do.
Who?
I know Abe probably does. So if you were tuning into any of the Olympics on Friday or, quite frankly, the freaking internet, you would have seen Rachel Gunn's breakdancing performance as she is the representing the country of Australia.
Yeah.
I did not realize she scored a literal zero.
Oh, really?
She scored.
That's what I found out.
And Bo, I just saw the clips, and that one clip when she's on the ground, I was like,
it's pretty funny.
What the hell is she doing?
Now, I would have thought that something in her dance routine would have gotten her at least a point. But look, Rachel Gunn, it turns out, was not just out there for us to all laugh at her. She has a PhD in cultural movement. And she convinced the country of Australia to pay for her trip to the Paris Olympics so that she could go into the breaking competition. I guess, and as it relates to her degree, cultural movement, I'm not sure if she teaches or what.
Right.
But she was there with a purpose. And good for you for getting out there in front of the world. I'm not going to say she made an ass out of herself, but her dance routine was kind of funny.
Yes, she did, Bo. Come on now. I mean, she made an ass out of herself.
Was none of that breaking?
Yeah, it was funny. And I mean, it's one of those things where I'll do this a lot. Well, you can't do it. I could have did that what she did, dog.
No, we all could. I mean,
refuse
to believe it.
Do you think, Bo, that she has cost the Olympics breakdancing?
No, but breakdancing is not coming back in 2028. But it's more so because of funding. So I guess Turbo's efforts were not enough. But look, if it's funding, I mean, why can't we get enough money to send breakdancers to the Olympics? Send them to the Olympics.
Why can't we get enough money to properly train breakdancers? Because they didn't do anything useful.
Well, the lady that won it, if you look at her performance, was pretty awesome. And some of the actual competitors, well, do you breakdance? You can't sit here and tell me that her performance wasn't good.
It was good, but it was just breakdancing. Oh, it just didn't feel Olympic level, expert. Olympic quality. I told you before the Olympics, it's not gonna play well. So many people. That was the other thing. Is like so many people were so excited about it coming into the Olympics. I'm like,
were we excited or curious?
I think a lot of people. Well, sure, but it always felt like it was gonna be a letdown because it was never gonna match the anticipation.
So congratulations to Rachel for getting that exposure and for taking a trip to Australia. Look, I would have gone and done that exact same thing for a free trip to Australia. I mean,
I agree with you on that.
You know, so kudos to her. So, you know, French is supposed to be the language of love. We discussed this last week. So the French people were supposed to be loving. I don't know about all that all of a sudden. So to give y'all some background on Joel Embiid, 76ers superstar that played on the Team USA. Joel Embiid was born in Cameroon. Got his French citizenship in 2022, so he holds citizenship in three different countries. Did play for Team USA, as he should have, because he's lived here like his entire life. Went to college here, plays here in the NBA. When Joel Embiid went to get his gold medal after Team USA romped France, here's the French population that was in attendance.
The crowd, the talk, the conversation, many conversations that he would be part of this French team.
Team USA, why y'all got to be so salty?
I don't understand why they so mad at him to be on the French team when they got Victor and you got the other big soft dude.
Yeah, Rudy. Plenty of French soft guys.
What are you booing about? Like, you ain't got nothing else to do but boo this man. This man, he's like, okay, am I going to play for the States or am I going to play for France? I'm going to play for the States. I'm playing with a better team.
Well, he also could have played for, like, one of the, I forget which African country. Maybe it was Ghana. I don't remember. But he chose not to for them either.
I mean, I want to win. I don't want to have to carry a country.
Right.
Hey, whatever. Call me what you want to.
I don't know if Cameroon's a basketball team, though.
Call me gold medalist.
What do we think of when it comes to this in 15 years? A multiple-time MVP and a gold medalist.
Yeah.
Like, correct. That's it.
So, speaking of salty French people, quite literally, McDonald's is now jumping on the Olympic backlash as in response to a social media post about USA stomping the crap out of France in the gold medal game. McDonald's France says they're going to cope with this, or they're trying to cope, by removing sweet curry sauce off the menu for a minimum of 4 years.
Wow.
Do not know
that is,
yet whether they really intend to do this, but McDonald's jumping in on the fun.
I saw the call from the French guy, who I guess the French announcer for the game was calling Steph Curry the devil or something like that. The devil Steph Curry has got us again.
Got to be all like that, French
people. Why we got to be all that? Why can't you just let that go and just let this man cook? Because he was cooking. And I know that I'm not the only person. When he shot that last ball that everybody was talking about, I knew it was going in. You just knew that ball was going in as soon as it left your hands.
Not going to lie.
That's the sort of shot that makes me think it's a simulation. Because I also knew it was going in, and I'm with you, but there's no reason it should go in. And I'm like, we're living in a matrix, man.
So I'm not going to lie. As someone with at least half French blood, I'm kind of embarrassed. And I'm going to claim the Cajun
side. Part of you is French.
A lot of me is French. My whole side of the family is French.
Cajun Bo we're talking
about. Oh, that's right. Never mind. Okay, Cajun Bo. Yeah,
But I claim Cajun, not French. Although, you know, Cajun wasn't really a language in high school, so I had to take French. But anyways, did y'all watch the closing ceremony? I know Abe probably did.
You know what? I was talking about these yesterday. I don't think I've missed an opening ceremony. I don't know if I've ever watched a closing
ceremony. I didn't realize the closing ceremonies were even a thing either until yesterday. And all the rumors and all the hype up for this thing. So I actually had it on. This thing drug along for 2 freaking hours. Thank goodness I have another TV that I was paying more attention to. But it was pretty cool at the end. So we did get to see Tom Cruise, you know, come down from the rafters like Sting. He got on a motorcycle with the flag and he took off through Paris. Got up on a plane. They flew him to the United States. He parachuted out by the Hollywood sign in Los Angeles, where they did have the 2 O's, were the bottom 2 rings and the Olympic rings. So that was pretty cool. Then we head down to Long Beach there, and I guess we saw the Chili Peppers first. Then it was Billie Eilish. Then, of course, Snoop comes out in his lowrider bicycle. He sings a little bit of Drop It Like It's Hot. Then he takes the stage, and he's joined by the Doctor.
Come on. Da-da-da-da-da. It's the one and only D.
So that part of the closing ceremony was actually pretty awesome. I was glad that I sat through the entire thing just to see that. But 2028 Olympics in LA, gonna be pretty sweet.
It better be. It better be. I honestly don't know how it's gonna be.
It's gonna be a tough follow up. I'll say that. For off the court athletic stuff or on the court athletic stuff, it's going to be a tough follow up.
Yeah, it is, and because of LA being what LA is, traffic and all that other crap. It's gonna, and there's traffic in Paris also. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to think of as far as. I mean, I know they had the Olympics in 84 when it was here in LA, 84. So it's been that long since the LA's got an Olympic game. But, I'm always interested when we talk about the Olympics, because now that it's over, I won't speak about it until, you know.
Well, you're going to speak about it at 120, but after 120, you'll be good.
I won't have to talk about it anymore, but I think that, you know, when you
–
you always talk about the guys who are – the kids that are coming up right now, like who's going to be this year's whatever, in 28.
Probably Quincy Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to definitely be one. Only going to be 20 years old. He's still going to be a pup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still going to be a pup. Got the gold medal. He can't go back to school?
Yeah. It starts in 2 weeks.
Real quick here, on to a little college football-ish, because I wanted y'all to be able to speak on this. So, look, man, Deion Sanders, when I'm coming up, Deion Sanders is my favorite NFL football player of all time. Don't know how many people know that, but I played corner in high school. Looked up to Deion. You know, I love the flash. But Deion Sanders, the college football coach, I'm not 100% so sure on. So, Deion voted the second worst football coach in the Big 12 conference by a poll done by some CBS national guy. So now
it's a guy that I believe Andy thinks I'm friends with, probably.
Yeah, Abe's buddy. And it doesn't matter what, you know, if Deion wants to be mad at Abe's buddy, that's fine. But why you got to take it out on a CBS local guy out of Denver, Deion?
Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado.
CBS,
Tyler.
I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you. Respect you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rigo, my last
with you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they
the
did
pettiness,
was
pettiness, Deion.
I don't know what is it. This is this over the how they had them ranked, or is it something else?
No, it's the rankings.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what
but
it was.
But here's my problem. I first off, I don't mind Deion not wanting to deal with the CBS guy.
At all,
that's his choice.
At all.
But don't also sit there and say you respect what I'm doing, because that's where you bother me with it.
Oh,
you don't love me and respect me if you're not letting me do my job that has nothing to do with everyone else's job.
Oh, that doesn't bother me.
I got a problem.
That doesn't bother me at all, because I'm not one of you guys. Just stay the hell, mate. She said, if I don't want to answer your damn question, I don't want him to answer your question. Go kick
I'd
rocks.
I'd be fine with that, too.
Yeah. But I just like it because he's something that's going – because he was I saw a couple other those clips, Bo. He was on it with everybody. That
he was, man, all over.
With everybody. Not just the CBS guy, but everybody in that press that
he's
day.
He's been a different
happened.
Dude since his son had to file for bankruptcy.
Everybody.
That's my guess. All right, that's going to do it here. Hour number two, 1 hour left to go. We'll get back into what the Falcons look like on Friday night and some closing thoughts, not closing ceremonies, closing thoughts on the Summer Olympics as well. A lot of basketball in that discussion coming your way. It is the Midday Show, Andy and Randy, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.